Now, the SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, has said that he's happy to meet with the Green Party leader, Claire Bailey, to discuss the potential for agreed candidates in a snap, if a snap general election is actually triggered. So we're talking about this suggestion from Claire Bailey, and Claire is on the line. Claire Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Your hope is that there'll be more representation from here across at Westminster for remaining in the European Union. Is that what you're trying to achieve by your idea?
Well, the Green Party voted and campaigned to remain. We think that Brexit is a disaster for Northern Ireland. But we're much further on with that one now, and we can see that the real threat of a potential no deal, or hard Brexit, and that's something that our people didn't vote for and certainly don't want. So the offer to meet with other parties is really about opening up a discussion with other pro-Remain parties in the face of a potential snap election to see if there's a place or a space for agreement again between us. Because since the referendum in 2016, the parties that I've contacted, we have all been able to agree on issues before, such as the backstop, for example, and we were able to stand together side by side to represent the majority voice of the people in Northern Ireland. And given that these are extraordinary times, I feel it requires an extraordinary response. And the focus, if this election is called, if and when it is called, the focus really has to be about stopping a no-deal Brexit, securing the people's vote and dealing with the chaos at Westminster. And that's really what my intention is, just to scope out the potential to see if there is some sort of space for cooperation and collaboration between parties who already agree on issues that will be at the fore for this election.
I'm just looking at the definition of a general election, and it's entirely different from a referendum. You're trying to rerun a referendum that's already been lost.
Well, I'm not trying to rerun a referendum, but I would love to see another referendum called, and that's for the people's vote, and that's something that we've called for since the previous referendum. We can see that the first referendum in 2016 completely split the UK, not just in devolved regions, but within the population as well. And since then, we've had no agreement at Westminster. We have had no agreement on the way forward. We can see that the parties are splitting, that people are leaving parties. So it's an absolute mess that we have been faced with over the past few years. We've had our businesses telling us that a Brexit is no good for Northern Ireland. We've had our farmers telling us that Brexit is no good for Northern Ireland. Our trade unions and our children's future as well in leaving the EU. So I'm not about rerunning a referendum, but I do support a people's vote, because when politics cannot agree, when politics cannot meet anywhere to move forward, and when we continue in this stalemate, I honestly believe that the best way forward is to go back to the people. That's called democracy. Let them have their say again, because democracy didn't die after that first referendum. We've had a series of elections that haven't moved us any way forward. So why not give the people another say?
You're certainly ganging up on the DUP.
Well, the DUP have entered a pact with the Tory party for the past, since 2017 at Westminster. And it's not about ganging up on one party. It's about being able to represent the voice of the people in Northern Ireland. And so far, we've had Lady Sylvia Herman at Westminster, the only voice elected from here, being able to stand up for the people's voice here. So if we're to face another snap election, you know, let's not forget that this is Boris Johnson and his hard Brexiteers who have led us to this point, with Dominic Cummings and Rees Mogg, and they're really determined to get us out of the EU with a no deal. And we all know, through even the Yellowhammer papers that were released, how bad that impact is going to be on Northern Ireland. So I would really, if there's going to be a snap election, we need to sit down and look with clear eyes. You know, this is not about party interest. This should not be about particular candidate interest. This should be about the interest of the people in Northern Ireland, the best interest of our future, and that needs to be represented.
So how would the pacts actually manifest themselves? Would the plan be, and I, you know, you hear at the water fountain, or indeed the person sitting beside you on the bus working it out in their own heads, and the suggestion being that in South Belfast the SDLP would stand, and in East Belfast, the Alliance Party would stand, and in North Belfast, Sinn Féin would stand. And they wouldn't be opposed. So they would go up against Emma Little Pengelly in South Belfast, go up against Garth Robinson in East Belfast, and up against Nigel Dodds in North Belfast. So Sinn Féin's candidate could possibly win in North Belfast, the Alliance candidate could possibly win in East Belfast, and the SDLP's candidate could possibly win in South Belfast. Next, that gets rid of three DUP MPs. Is that what is motivating you?
Well, what's motivated me is cooperation and collaboration in extraordinary times, really. So I'm not going in to meet anybody with a plan about what I think should happen. The numbers game will be something that we do need to look at and see where the votes are, how we can collaborate and how we can affect different outcomes. And that's what I'm willing to discuss. As I say, I'm not going in with a plan to say, here's what I think should happen. Every party and every person will have their own issues or their own plans, and bring other things that perhaps I haven't thought about to that table as well. And that's what the meeting is really about. It's about opening that discussion, having a listen, having a think, and see if we can reach an agreement. Now, I am not expecting that over our 18 constituencies that is a possibility, but I do believe that because we as four parties have come together before, we have stood shoulder to shoulder, we do agree on a lot of issues, so let's have a wee look at where we do agree and see if we can drive that forward a wee bit further and put the interests of the people in Northern Ireland forward, because what we're looking at is absolute chaos. I mean, there are extraordinary times happening at Westminster, and we need to, you know, see if there is something we can do collaboratively to combat that in the best interests of our future.
Yeah, by the way, I think I rechristened Mr. Robinson, called him Gareth as opposed to Gavin, but he'll understand. The feedback that you're getting from the other parties, the SDLP, they seem open enough to it, just with the immediate reaction from their leader. The Alliance Party don't have a track record for pacts, and if there was a pact in North Belfast and it came down to, for instance, John Finucane against Nigel Dodds, that is a straightforward sectarian headcount, isn't it?
Well, I think that's the other thing that we need to look at. We need to start stepping outside of sectarianism and looking at the best interests of ourselves. So, again, I'm going to go back. I'm not trying to pick candidates. I'm not trying to pick people because they define themselves as nationalist or unionist. I don't do that. My party don't do that. Neither do the Alliance Party as well. But what we can do and what we have been able to do over the past few years is stand together on agreed issues such as the backstop, such as the outcomes of Brexit. We've been able to stand up and represent the voices of our farmers, of our businesses when they're telling us that a no-deal Brexit, a hard Brexit, or indeed Brexit in any way, shape or form is not good for Northern Ireland. So it's a conversation based on that rather than, you know, sectarian headcount, which is just something I don't even want to get into. You know, it's about representing the voice, having the strongest voice possible in these urgent and emergency times. I mean, this is chaos at Westminster. And again, the feedback that I have been getting over the past few years is that people really feel that they're not being heard, they're not being represented at Westminster, because all we have is Lady Sylvia Herman, who's done a great job so far in standing up for what the people of Northern Ireland voted for, what the concerns being brought forward have been saying, and representing that there. So my focus is really about strengthening those voices in these extraordinary times.
You know, much point then in getting involved in a pact with Sinn Féin, because they're not going to be there.
Well, Sinn Féin's abstentionism is really a matter for them. I can't imagine for one second that they're about to change that policy, but that doesn't mean that they can't affect change in other areas as well. I mean, since the referendum, the four main parties have come together where possible, as I say, to work together, and I see no reason to stop that now, and that's really what I'm focusing on. I'm not advocating for a party or a candidate. I'm just asking for a discussion and consideration and continued cooperation to see if we can maybe put forward a stronger voice, have a wee look at ourselves collectively, because I do believe, and again, feedback that I'm getting, is that we really need to work hard to try and restore some sense of integrity, honesty, faith and trust in our politics and in our leaders. People are desperate for mature political responses right now, and I think that it's incumbent on us all to sit down and have a look at that, maybe step outside the adversarial politics and the tough talking that it usually brings around election times, and see if right now, for this time, that we can find some sort of collaboration and go forward together for some sort of outcome that will represent people. I'm putting people before party here, and I think that I'd really encourage others to think the same.
And will the Green Party be prepared not to field candidates?
The Green Party are prepared to have the discussions, and that's all I can say to you at the minute. There is no agreement. We haven't had the discussions in any depth with anyone. I've simply put out the offer, but I do think that the discussion is really worthy of having, and if I can do anything to try and move us away from this chaos, from this hard politics, and from the potential of a no deal, I will do anything that I can, because I think that it's urgent. We are also facing a climate crisis. We were told in 2017 that we have 12 years to work hard to avert catastrophic changes. We've already lost two of those years sitting here with the Brexit chaos and the Westminster chaos. I don't think that we have any more time to allow this to continue. Something different has to happen. We can't keep doing the same and expecting different outcomes. And I think that we have emergencies to be looking at, and we need to be able to move forward in the best interests of ourselves.
And finally, and briefly, Claire, what has the reaction been from the party that you've written to? We get an understanding of Colm Eastwood, but what have the others said to you?
Yes, Colm Eastwood is more than happy to meet. I heard Michelle O'Neill yesterday saying that Sinn Féin are open for discussion as well, and I'm still waiting to hear if Alliance would like any discussions or any meetings.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything from them yet.
Claire Bailey, leader of the Green Party, thank you very much indeed. I want to speak to a couple of commentators who in recent times were very much involved in the political scene, and they were public representatives. First of all, Nelson McCausland. Nelson McCausland, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Do you think Claire Bailey is ganging up or trying to get everyone to gang up against the DUP?
Well, I think that the fact that the proposal has come forward from the Green Party, which in Claire Bailey's own constituency there in South Belfast has around 5% of the vote, really indicates that this is probably not going to have very much of an impact. It is clear that she's bringing together parties that are anti-unionist and non-unionist and ambivalent on the union. But I think it's going to run into great difficulties. Their issues are in negotiating a pact. There are short-term issues for political parties. There are longer-term issues. And there's also the question of how the voters will react. And so I think that it will be a very, very difficult thing for them to do. She's got a polite response from the SDLP and Sinn Féin, and that's what you'd expect, because no one wants to be the person who says no in these situations. But you've got to remember, parties like Sinn Féin there are looking at this, first of all, in the short term. They're looking at the impact on what would be their total vote across the constituencies, because that's something that analysts and commentators look at, journalists look at. What's the total vote across Northern Ireland for Sinn Féin? And therefore the question would be, well, if we were to step aside in a constituency, what impact would that have on that total vote? And also issues around stepping aside in an election, what impact does that have on your party workers, your party morale, your party supporters? Also, if you're talking about pacts, you need to be looking in the short term at negotiating them. Where's the trade-off? One party may want to stand aside in one constituency on the basis that they're allowed to have a free run in another constituency or whatever. I don't see how that works on the sort of basis that she's talking about. There's the longer term impact, because if you look down at future elections, people get into the habit of voting for a party. And if you do step aside for another party or for in a PR election, maybe for other parties, the question then becomes, do your voters lose the habit of voting for your party? So it breaks a habit that has certainly often been formed by people who will say to you, well, you know, my father voted this way, I will vote this way, we've always voted this way. There's a pattern that people form. And I think also the other thing to bear in mind with this is the reaction of voters. There is generally, I think, the case that if you got 60, 70% of people doing what they're asked to do at elections, you're doing well. Vote management shows that. Parties try to organise their vote management. It doesn't always work out by any means the way that they hoped. And we've seen elections here in Northern Ireland in the past where there was an attempt at the Unionist Pact in Fermanagh and South Tyrone. And again, you saw there's some Unionists staying at home. In other cases, that doesn't happen. And it's harder to create a pact if you have a situation where you have parties that are widely divergent on all sorts of issues. It's actually easier, I suppose, in some ways than unionism, because the gap between unionist parties is lesser than the gap between all of the non-unionist parties. You know, you could have people who are on the more conservative side of the SDLP, people who are on the radical left of the Green Party, or people before profit or whatever. So it is very, very significant and important to keep in mind how will the voters react to this. So with all of those issues in mind, I think that her initiative is one that may not have a great impact, and I think is possibly somewhat naive.
Unionists have had pacts other than in Fermanagh, South Tyrone, of course. And,
indeed.
And unionists are more likely to have a pact this time round than anything that Clare Bailey can muster from those who are more in favour of the backstop, shall we say, because we're almost expecting unionists to have a pact.
Well, it will depend very much on constituencies. There are constituencies where it won't really matter because it is so overwhelmingly unionist. Certain constituencies in the east of the province where it's so overwhelmingly unionist that no matter which unionists run, almost there will always be a unionist MP returned in those constituencies. In other cases, there's hardly an issue because you might have a constituency where one unionist party has 90% and more of the unionist vote and the other has less than 10%. And the end result then is that people naturally will gravitate towards the larger party because that's someone that's going to take the seat. So these are things that people look at constituency by constituency. That's how parties will look at it. And I don't really see what Clare Bailey really is bringing to the table.
Nancy McCausland, thank you. Let me ask Dahi McKay what she's bringing to the table. Anything, Dahi? Sinn Féin seem, well, they seem as if their ear is open to it at least.
Yeah, I think all the parties that she is reaching out to have an ear open, but I do agree with Nelson is that very often in these cases, party interests will come first. But to counter that, there's certainly a public appetite, and especially in constituencies like South Belfast, where there was some calls for a pact last time round, and you had the end result where the DUP took the seat there as a result of all the other Remain parties being divided. But on the back of recent opinion polls, like the one we've seen this week from Lucid Talk, that places the Alliance Party on the back of its recent surge in a very good position in places like East Belfast and South Belfast, there'll be a few people within the Alliance Party who will say, why would we enter into a pact now that we're actually on the cusp of making some real advances? So it might not be those constituencies where some of these parties are in a prime position to perhaps take the seat directly off the DUP, such as South Belfast and North Belfast. But there are other constituencies, such as North Down, where Sylvia Herman only had a majority of around 1,200 last time. But if you were to tally up the Remain party's votes in that constituency, she could potentially gain another 6,000 to 7,000 votes and another sort of the more the mid constituencies such as East Derry or Upper Ban, the likes of Sinn Féin, SLP and Alliance are in less of a position to take the seat themselves, so they may be more open to a pact in those kind of constituencies.
So there's ego and image of party that will be put before the desire to beat Boris Johnson.
Well, I mean, the point that was that the Clare Bailey did make was that these are extraordinary times, not only in terms of Irish politics, UK politics, but internationally. There's the growth of populism, and we need to look at things in a much different way than we have in the past. So I think that parties need to look beyond their own self-interest and look beyond the total tally of votes they get, or their agenda to grow their vote in the constituency time after time. Things have changed, and perhaps this is a challenge on the Remain side, that they really need to be more pragmatic to get a better end result for what is their political objectives in terms of Remain, in terms of getting a special deal for the North in terms of whatever post-Brexit scenario is going to be. And I'm sure there are people within the political parties that are involved in this that would like to see a more pragmatic approach taken, but there's always that party self-interest, which unfortunately overrides in a number of cases and actually leads to a worse political outcome for those parties overall. So I do think that we need to see some new thinking amongst the parties involved here compared to the approach that they took in 2017.
Would Sinn Féin be particularly interested in at this time around, say, pulling Martin O'Mullier out of South Belfast in return for a free run for the likes of John Finucane in North Belfast? The beating of the DUP in North Belfast and the possibility of winning that seat, that would mean a lot to Sinn Féin, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, historically, Sinn Féin would have been more open to a poll on the Nationalist Party side than the SDLP in the past, and there was that exchange between the two parties over the two constituencies of Fermanagh South Tyrone and South Belfast that actually led to the SDLP vote collapsing in Fermanagh South Tyrone a number of years ago. So the SDLP will be wary of entering into a pact and probably won't entertain what would be seen as a nationalist party pact. And also the Alliance Party would be probably the least enthusiastic, I would say, of entering into a pact of this nature of all the four parties concerned.
And why is it that the Alliance Party are less willing? Is it because they see sectarian headcounts? They would see Nigel Dodds up against the likes of John Finucane in North Belfast. If they stood back from North Belfast, they would feel that they were participating in that, even if they had an advantage of Gavin Robinson maybe being challenged by the Alliance candidate in East Belfast. They're not prepared to play ball on that. Is that just an issue of principle with them?
Yeah, even if Alliance approached this in a genuine way and wanted to see Remain candidates return to different constituencies from the different parties, they will know that their political opponents and the more unionist constituencies such as East Belfast will try and use that against them. So they will not be making any steps, I would imagine, without a lot of thought. And I suppose what would be a more likely outcome would be a pact where there would be independent candidates as opposed to carving up the constituencies within different parties. So out of the discussions, you're more likely to see some agreement around a constituency in North Down was an independent MP as opposed to dividing three or four constituencies up amongst the parties concerned.
Some sort of agreed candidate, is that some sort of punter that we don't know the name of yet that we have to find between now and whatever date?
Yes. And of course, in recent days, people have suggested that, you know, we now have a lot more prominent speakers In favour of either Remain or a special deal for the North, coming from the farming community, coming from the business community, looking at this very much in an economic sense, and not making any reference to unionism or nationalism per se. So there may be candidates out there, but the parties all have a gra or a relationship with independent candidates that may be able to be seen or found to be acceptable to all of them. But like I say, at this moment in time, a pact looks unlikely, but if there is to be one, it would be more likely to be one involving independent candidates than parties standing aside and perhaps not being able to re-establish themselves and constituencies at the next election after that.
Okay, Dahi Mackay, thank you very much. Nancy McCausland, thank you as well. One thing for sure, this general election seems to be a one-issue general election. It'll be about nothing but Brexit.